In you, O God, is the fountain of life. In your light, we shall see light. Thank you that through us, you have your speaking. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I know you are excited for the word of God, and you are enjoying the discussion we're having on the book of John. We've looked at the openings to the Gospel of John, and there's so much to share with you from this book. However, we are laying foundations so that we can fully be grounded in the truth that was dispensed in this book. From my previous discussion, we realized that the mentality of the apostle is to review God through Christ and to point out the reality that Jesus is God. So his writings are mostly focused on life and the building of life. Basically, that is the core of the entire scripture. The entire scriptures are to reveal life and its building. You need to understand that everything about God's program is to the intent that he would dispense his life. And then in dispensing his life becomes the essence of man, and man becomes the substance of his life. And then man would then be the very expression of his life. So basically, God dispensing his life is God in his fullness coming to indwell man. It means God becomes one with man, and then man becomes God's expression. That has been God's program. And so every part of scripture is pointing out this core matter pertaining to man. When Apostle Paul ministered to the people and then now he begins to talk about they having the life of Christ, you will see that he goes ahead to talk about the expression of Christ and talks about the conducts. Now, all the conduct and the character of Christ and the display of Christ and all that is basically matters pertaining to expression. So everything that God wants to achieve is that you will be the substance of his life, and his life will be expressed through you. And you need to have that understanding. However, the moment we fail to see Jesus or Christ as God, even before time began, we fail to understand that the life that Christ dispensed into us was the very life of God. So people doubt that God can live in man. How can God live in man? How can God give us his life? It's not possible. Now, because they doubt that it's not possible for God to dispense his life into man, you know what? Then now they begin to speak, or they begin to condemn, or begin to doubt, or give teachings that create doubts pertaining to the divinity of our Lord Jesus. And if you know the history of the church, there was a time when we had a certain group of people who said that Jesus was not God from the beginning, or Christ is not God from the beginning, but became God afterwards, which also does not make the divine reality of Christ a sure matter unto us. And so the apostle, writing his book, or the Gospel of John, was focused on revealing the divine nature of Christ, was to make us see the divinity of Christ, that Christ is fully God, manifested in the flesh. And so he took his time to carry the matter to eternal past. And I told the last time that if you are talking about the eternal past, it is not as though eternity has passed. But because time is within eternity and it is wrapped up in eternity, we are able to talk about eternal past, where we talk about eternity before time. And then we talk about eternal future, where we talk about eternity after time. But eternity is not past, present, future. No, eternity is. So eternity is now. But it is within time that we have past, present, future. And so because time is within eternity, we try to make you see, because man is in time and man only thinks in time. And so because man only thinks in time, we are to make you see that there is a time that exists even before time. But the time that exists before time is eternity. It is not time. It is eternity. It is not measured by time. It is measured by the light and life, or by the light of life.
And some other time we'll talk about that, okay? Not even in this discussion, because there are so many matters within the discussion that if you want, we can pick them up, okay, outside the book and talk about them, all right? Or outside the study we are having and talk about them, and that would even take us a month to digest those matters. So in studying this book is to touch on basic matters within the book. If you are going to do an extensive discussion on every single matter that has been discussed in this book, then we're not going to finish within the time frame that we have to just fellowship with this book, all right? So this discussion is to give us a basic understanding of the book. And then the basic lights within the book will shine in our hearts. But there are further and deeper lights within this book. And then we will pick those matters after this discussion, pick them one after the other, and digest those matters through teaching, all right? Glory to God. Thank you, sweet Holy Ghost. And so the apostle did this. He pointed out Christ before time, as I've said earlier. And you know what? In revealing that, he did not begin by speaking of the genealogy of Jesus. So the book of John does not begin with the genealogy of Jesus as compared to Matthew and Luke. All right. It speaks of Jesus. It speaks of Christ without genealogy, Christ without father, Christ without mother. All right. And speaks of Christ from eternity. So he said, and reveals Christ as he is, who is the Word of God. So he begins by speaking of him as the Word was with God from the beginning. So he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And he said, the Word was God. That's profound. That's so amazing. That is deep. That is so rich. That in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Can you see that? You see, now when you say the Word was with God, I explained the last time that it is not as though you have put two different elements together. No, it is the same matter. It speaks of its mingling essence. So he spoke of him as one without a father. He spoke of him as one without a mother. He spoke of him as one without physical dimension. Inasmuch as he spoke of the expression of God in time. But he did not reveal him so much as God or as a man whose beginning was just in time. No, he spoke of him as God whose beginning was the beginning. And his beginning, which was the beginning, was not the beginning of time. It was a beginning without a beginning. That is what eternity is. He was. So he said, before Abraham was, I am. So John spoke of Christ being without past, present, and future. He spoke of his being as a reality, which is God. Dealing with that argument that before time, Jesus was not God. And he became God after he had conquered sin, after he had died and resurrected. That is a wrong theory. It's a wrong teaching. The reality of God is that in the beginning was the Word. And remember, if you are speaking concerning the beginning, we are not talking about the beginning as in the beginning of time, as mentioned in Genesis 1. But we are talking about the beginning as a person, that in him things unfolded. The Bible says, for he is the first and the last. So all things are wrapped up in him. Eternity is a person, and Christ is the very embodiment. He's the very visibility. He's the very expression of eternity. So he's revealed as the beginning and the end. He's revealed as the first and the last. He's revealed as the Alpha and Omega. And that's what John is pointing to. That's what he's talking about. And remember, he's the same person that spoke of him in eternal future. So even in eternal future, he was revealed as the beginning of all things. And he was revealed as the consummation of all things. So, you know, he is both the seed and the harvest. That's who Jesus is. So, Brother John revealed him without genealogy, without father, without mother in John 1. Though other subsequent verses, he pointed out the relationship with the physical mother. But before then, he has to reveal him, you see, in his manifested essence as man. That was when he began to point out relationship with mother. But now you also see that right from Genesis 1, he never spoke of anything about his relationship with man. He spoke of he being God in himself until the subsequent verses where he began to speak of his relationship with creation, his relationship with man. And in revealing his relationship with creation, you know what? He revealed him as the creator. We only know one creator, and that creator is God. So if Christ is revealed now as the creator of all things, that it means that he is God. So you see that he's still pointing out the divine person who was in Christ, the man Jesus. Or the divine person who is Christ, the man Jesus. Remember, Jesus speaks of God becoming man. So the word being made flesh is called Jesus. But the word has existed in God even before Genesis 1:1. Even before God would think of creation. You see, God was himself God. He was himself community. And that community was the person, the word, who is God himself. Was the person, the spirit, who is God himself. And so let's go straight to John 1, John chapter 1. Let's read, you know, as though we've never read it before. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word, all right? And the word was with God. So now see, he didn't say that in the beginning there would be the word. No, the word was. He pre-existed. His existence was not in time. His existence was what we call eternity. And he didn't just exist. He is the source of existence. It is by him things exist. So he said, was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. How do you see that? So he was not God after creation. He was not God after he manifested in the flesh. He was not God after time. He has always been in God. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And I told you, if you are saying that the word was with God, we are not talking of two different elements put together. He is mingled together as himself. They are not two different bodies put together. So when I say in the beginning, I was with my head. It does not mean that there was a time where my head was separated from me and there was a time where my head was put together. No, my head was me. My hand is me. And it is so I was from the beginning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. Another emphasis. He said, all things. Now see, he's beginning to express the details of this God and express who he is and what he has been able to produce. See, he's still talking about the divine essence of Christ. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. See, and he said, and he was with God in the beginning. It means he's beginning to talk about something detailed. So you see verse 3. He said, all things, not some things. He said, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Meaning, he is the source, and he is the raw material. He is both the material, the process, or the means of all things coming into existence. All things being made, all things being created. Christ is the source. And this Christ is the word. Now, that also reveals an amazing quality of the word. You see, an amazing quality of the word. It means the word is the source of creation. By the word of God, all things are made. And these verses reveal some amazing stuff about the word of God. You see, it reveals the word from verse 1 as God. It reveals the word as creator. It reveals the word as life. It reveals the word as light. Hey, Shatos Keba. It reveals the word as the source of authority unto sonship. He reveals the word as the means by which the new man is formed. Yeah, that's why we take advantage of God's word. You see, the word of God that comes to us is life. The word of God that comes to us is God himself. The word of God that comes to us is light. The word of God that comes to us carries the power of creation. So when he comes to indwell you, becomes part of you, and you are mingled with him, you know what happens to you? You have God in you. You don't just have God in you. You have a creative power. You have the power to create. You have the power to call things into being. And so you read Romans 4. He reveals that, see, for Abraham saw him as he that calls things into being. He calls things that be not as though they are. He calls things into being. That is the word of God. You know what? By the word of God in your mouth, you can call anything into being. By the word of God in your mouth, you carry a creative ability. You carry the creative force within you. I was telling one fellow recently, I said, don't wait for challenges to come to you. No, don't wait for them. Before you begin to pray, before you begin to declare, you are a creator. You carry a creative force within you. You have the ability to create when you become born again. The ability to create is within you. So you know what? For our creation, it's not so much about creating out of nothing. We create from that which is already is. And that is the word of God. All things are made already for us. All we do is that we call those things into being. We bring them into life. We bring them onto manifestation. That is the extent of our creative work. We bring them into manifestation. So whatever you want to see, you have that power, that creative force, which is the word of God within you, to bring it into being. Don't wait for challenges before you bring things into being. You can cause things to come into being, even now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I cause things, and I call things into being. You know, and that's how God calls things into being, by speaking. He called Abraham, is by speaking. He did not go out there to labor. God called light into being by the word of God. He called light into being. Light wasn't. He called it into being by the word of God. All the created things came into being by the word of God. Can you just imagine? Just think about it for a moment. And this word is in you. Brother, you can call that well-being into being. It means it's not just things that we call into being. We command things to disappear. Shadagaba. When that thing does not belong to that your body, you can call it to disappear. Why? The word of God is in you. And the word of God is the force of creation. Hey, I create. I set things in order. If you sit there to permit things to happen to you, you know what? You are not taking advantage of the word of God that is within you. I call things into being. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. Nothing should just exist. Everything that happens around you must be by your intention. You must be intentional about the things that happens around you. Listen to what he said about the word of God. Listen to what he said. See the verse 3. So all things were made through him. See? He said, and he said, without him, nothing was made that was made. It means all things were made by him. It must be by an intentional working. It is by an intentional working that things came into being. Not automatic. Yeah, you may say spontaneous working, but it was not automatic. That spontaneous working was by the word of God. And that's what you should understand. Don't just wake up saying, hey, I didn't know and it happened. No, you must know why the word is in you. Nothing just happens. If it did not happen through the word, it should not happen. Through the word, it must happen. Hey, glory to God. That's how you take charge of your sphere. You determine every detail that comes around you. Don't just wake up and say, I didn't know and I'm not feeling well. I didn't know. How? I didn't know how this happened to me. It just happened. How? There has to be that knowing. See, there has to be that knowing. Because the word of God is the wisdom of God. The word of God is the intelligence of God. Shadagato sata. Nothing has just happened around you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. Remember, the him is still the word of God. So in the word was life. Hey, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So in the word of God was life. And he said, this word has light. That's what the Bible says. The entrance of that word giveth light. When the word of God enters, it comes with light. It comes with illumination. It comes with enlightenment. The word produces the ability of light within you that you may see. It shines upon your feet and upon your path. You don't miss your way. Your sphere is illuminated, flooded with truth. No sense of darkness. In him was life. So you can't have God's word and not carry the life of God. When the word of God enters you, life has entered you. So Jesus said, the word that I speak unto you, said they are spirits and they are life. Hey, so as you give it to God's word, it is life that is being intensified within you. Because when you become born again, the life of God is dispensed into you. And the more you feast on the word of life, know what? The life of God within you is intensified to cause transformation on your mind, to cause you to experience a metamorphosis where your mind is transformed. Where life now takes hold of your flesh, of your body. And now anything you touch, life is dispensed onto it. That's what the word of God is. The word of God is not just the black and white writings in the book. The word of God is not just letters. It's a spirit. It's a being. It's a person. He is Christ. Beneath the letters of the Bible is the spirit of life. And so by the Holy Ghost within you, you are able to glean and suck life, which is the spirit's ink beneath this black and white writings you see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's look at the person Jesus. Who is the person Jesus? Who is the word of God? Who is Christ? The person, he is himself life. He doesn't just have life. He is life. And you see that in 1 John 5:12. It said, this life is in his son. It's he that has the son has life. He that does not have the son does not have life. So when you have the word, you have life in you. So he said, in him was life. You couldn't find life anywhere.
In him was life. That's who God is. No one has life. God doesn't just have life. God is life. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. So that life has what it takes to shine. So without that life, there is no shining. The shining of that life within you is the light. And he said, hey. And the light shines in darkness. But before that, in verse 4, saying him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, he's not saying that, the competing element of light is darkness. No, there's something he's talking about here. He's not trying to say that darkness can comprehend light. No, there is something profound that he's talking about here. He's talking about light instead taking hold of darkness. Remember, he's talking about the light taking hold of the mind of man. He continues to speak of him as the light that shines up every man, or that lights up every man that comes into the world. How does it light up every man? By taking hold of the mind. Remember, he is the word of God. So when the word of God is taught, when the word of God is dispensed, the word of God takes hold of your mind and it dissolves every darkness. It dissolves every doubt. When the true word gets into you, no amount of doubt can overwhelm that way. When Jesus was speaking to the man on the road to Emmaus concerning his resurrection, when they were doubting his resurrection and all that, and Jesus, Bible says, began to speak to them right from Moses through the prophets, expounding the things that were written concerning himself to these people. When he was done and he left, Bible says, this man spoke one to another, that didn't our hearts bear? Hey, said, didn't our hearts burn when he spoke? Didn't our hearts burn when he was speaking to us? It means that burning was the shining of the light of the word. So when the word of God, which is Christ, is taught, there is the burning of the heart. You see, how is there a burning? Because there is a shining. And the light of the word produces heat within you. That is the lighting of every man. He lights up every man that comes into the world. When a man comes into the world, there are two things that happen. He is given the ability to assimilate light. Man is made a receptacle. It's a lighting. It's you being lightened. It's light as a vessel, as a receptive ability being set up within you. So the spirit of a man is a candle of the Lord. You see. So every man that comes into the world is to be lighted up. It means you are given the ability to take in light. Now when you become born again, light now comes to dwell in you. You don't just have the ability to receive the light, but now the light becomes your essence and you become the light of the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So look at it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Now see verse 8. Oh, Jesus. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not the light. He came to bear witness of the light. And this John is not the author of this gospel. He's speaking of John, who is known commonly as John the Baptist. He was a prophet. Jesus called him the burning and shining light, to bear witness of the true light. But he was not the light. You see, he came to bear witness of the light, so that all through him might believe. So he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And John bore witness of him.
Oh, hallelujah.
And gradually, he's trying to reveal him, into time. But in revealing him into time, you know what he did? He connected the law to the priesthood. It means he's beginning to reveal two aspects of Christ. He mentioned him in the line of the priesthood. And remember, John the Baptist was a prophet, and yet he was in the line of the priesthood, you see. And when you continue, look at it. Let's continue. Look at something.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Verse 9. That was a true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verse 10. He was in the world, and a world was made through him, and a world did not know him. So he came into the world. So he was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He's still speaking concerning the word of God. Are you with me? We all know that God created the world. But yet now he's saying that the world was made through him. All right? So he is God.
All right. I want you to see something. Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, we'll talk about this later. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All right. Now look at verse 14. So I want to just pick verse 6, 7, 8, and verse 14. All right, to let you see something very interesting. Maybe I may not go too much into it, but I'll just scratch on it briefly. All right, so look at this. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so now he said, and the word became flesh. So he's speaking of his incarnation. Right, he's speaking of his incarnation, and the word became flesh and he dwelt among us. All right, to dwell, he chose, he said, he tabernacled. For the word to dwell, the Greek word explains itself as to tabernacle, it means to abide. So the word tabernacled among us, doesn't it remind you of the tabernacle in the Old Testament? Further, briefly, but I want you to see something very interesting. And you see that John, his father was Zachariah. Zachariah was a priest, all right? He was a priest. And John was in the line of the priests. And in the apostle John revealing Jesus, coming into Jesus, being revealed in his manliness, he began by pointing out John, you see, as a witness of the true light. And John here represents the priesthood. That the priesthood are witnesses of light. And you know, afterward, you know what he said? He said, for he is the true light that lights up every man that comes into the world. Remember? And then he began to talk about the tabernacle. There is light in the tabernacle, which is called the menorah, the seven lampstands. It is the priest that lights up this light. So quickly, he's pointing out Jesus in his priesthood. He's revealing Jesus in his priesthood. And he tabernacling among us. So what is he doing? He's revealing an entire system which has to do with the priesthood of God. And so in the book of John, the apostle, though he spoke of the humanity of Jesus, or he spoke of Jesus in his manliness, he spoke of Jesus in his manliness on the grounds of his function. See, he didn't speak of his incarnation merely as Luke and Matthew spoke of his incarnation as a man. He focused more on the function of God in man. He focused more on the work of God in man. He could have just begun by talking about the manger, Jesus being born in the manger. He could have spoken about that birth experience. But he didn't start from that light. He began talking about Jesus from the light of John. He means he began to talk of him in his priesthood. And Jesus being the eternal tabernacle. Means he's still pointing to his heavenly quality. He's pointing out, he's unveiling a reality of Jesus, who he is in God. And I remember when Moses went to the mount to receive the vision of God. Now, in that vision, he also received a vision concerning the building of the tabernacle. And in that building of the tabernacle, he said, the tabernacle must be built according to the pattern he saw. Meaning that the tabernacle that Moses built was a shadow of an original pattern. And Jesus is that substance. He is that original pattern. Remember, he is the true light. Just as he said, he is the true vine. It means he's the real vine. He's the substantial vine. He's the real tabernacle. He's a substantial tabernacle. And said, John is not the light, but came to bear witness of the light. Just as the priests came to bear witness. They are shadows. They are witnesses of Jesus. They are witnesses of Christ, who is the ultimate, who is the real light, who is the true light, who is the real life, who is the real expression. Now remember, light is an expression. And Jesus, he is the true light. He is the true expression of God. So John was not a true expression. That means that the priests were not a true expression. That means that the shadows, the teachings of the old, they are mere types. They are mere figures. They are not the true matter. They came to bear witness of the true matter. So he picked John as a witness to reveal how the priesthood was a witness. You see, they testify of Jesus' work in man. Look at another thing again. Oh, Kashadabaha. Let's read verse 6, 7, see. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So the priests, they were not the ultimate. They came to bear witness of the true priests. So in this book, he was revealing the divinity of God and revealing the work of God in man, the purpose of God in man as a priest. Alright, see verse 9. That was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. We'll digest this very soon. True light coming into the world. Jump to verse 14. And the word became flesh. This word is the same true light. He became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and reality. Verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Shakatalabaya. Now, you will know that when you study the book of Luke, you will see that John, according to time, was older than Jesus. So according to time, you could say that John was Jesus' senior brother, because he was born, not senior brother as in biologically directly, but senior brother according to time. He was a senior. He was born before Jesus. But he says that there is one that comes after me, but yet this one that comes after me is before me. Kalosh. So even John the Baptist was speaking concerning the eternal pre-existence of Jesus. He's still revealing the divine quality of Jesus before time. That time could not keep Jesus bound. Time was not his limitation. He was before time. You cannot measure him by time. No wonder. He said, before Abraham was, hey, Shatos, I am. I am. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred. Talakos ke pradash. Oh, I'm excited. Beloved, Jesus is not a plan B. He is God's original program. Latos sonamaka beleleleboshe. Idon sarabatos ke pre. Don't bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I speak. He that cometh after me is preferred. See, when he chose the word preferred, he chose the word ginomai. That actually means that which comes into existence, that which comes into history. All right? So, he comes into history before me, for he was before me. And he said, of his fullness have all received. Now, let's jump to verse 19. So John talking, John in the line of the priests, okay, John the Baptist, said, and this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making straight the way of the Lord. Remember the prophecy of Isaiah? Making straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth. I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John was in the line of the priests. Saw Jesus. Then he said, there cometh the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That is the work of a priest. That's the work of the priest. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Are you still seeing that? He had said that three times. He was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like dove, and it abode upon him. We'll read all this. We'll digest all this later. Now, he knew him not,
But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Ratakabababa. This is the Son of God. So then now, you know what? This priest, Johnny, began to point out Jesus in his divine essence. To be declared the Son of God is to be called God. In the Hebrew tongue, to be declared the Son of God is to be called God. That was why a couple of times they stoned Jesus when he referred to himself as the Son of God. And they said, he maketh himself like God. See, maketh himself like God. This is beautiful. Ooh, let's go back. So now you see this amazing thing. Apostle John now reveals a matter. He was revealing Jesus in time. But in revealing Jesus in time, reveals him in his priestly essence and his priestly work. Right? So he reveals him through John as John bearing witness of him, and John calling him the lamp of God, John calling him the Son of God. And in that same discussion, then he came to tabernacle among us, reveals him as the tabernacle. He is the true tabernacle. That's who Jesus is. Now all this reveals quality of his divine essence, because there was no way God would be experienced even in the shadows by men without the priesthood. See, and the priesthood, they were the medium, they were the mediators between man and God. And then he was revealed again as the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the medium, is the substance, the emblem that reveals God and man meeting together. The priests are the icons of man. They represented man before God. That reveals Jesus, that Jesus, manifesting as man, became the crown of men, that he will be the representation of man in God and will be the representation of God in man. So in John's writings, he's revealing a mystery that Jesus is the amalgamation of God and man, that Jesus is God and man being housed in one, that the crown of humanity, the crown of man, the peak of man represented in God, and God represented in man is Jesus. So he is God and man mingled together as fully God, as fully man. That's what John was revealing, you see. And they said, the lamp of God that takes away the sin of the world. So now you know what he does? He revealed him also as the terminating force. Do you know what John did? He carried us. He revealed how Jesus carried us out of corruptibility into incorruptibility, which is the realm of God. He revealed the function of Jesus as the man and as fully God who came into time. God, who came into time as man to express the relationship that exists between man and God without sin. You see, that is the speaking of God in this chapter. So, you know, in this same chapter, he's talking about our oneness with God. In this same chapter, he's talking about our union with God, because it is in the priesthood that God is able to contact. It is in the priesthood that the penalty of sin and the answer to sin was presented. It is in the priesthood that we see God contacting man. It's in the tabernacle that the meeting of God and man happens. And in this chapter, he reveals Jesus as the tabernacle and as the priests. Oh, Jesus is my everlasting priest. Jesus is the evidence that we are one with God. Jesus is the proof that man and God is mingled together to become a one entity. Jesus is the evidence that God is the life of man and man is the expression of God. That's the picture that John is revealing here. What an amazing reality. Oh, raka shadabatos kevebai. Hibabaro sandelelebo shababakatara. Rekando sota prataka valalaba. Hey, wherever you are, just lift your voice, pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sanana matos kebra gerebosh. Ratakabande ke sota balalaba. Jesus is our everlasting priest. Jesus is that proof, is that evidence that we are one. That is why in Christ Jesus we are made one with God. That is why in Christ Jesus God is made one with us. Our oneness with God is in Christ. It is not outside Christ. It is in Christ that we are fully made one with God. So you know what, beloved? If therefore you are in Christ, you know what? You are made one with God. God now lives in
in you and you are in God. You are now mingled together. And that's what John is revealing unto us. That if we are in Christ, we are one with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus is the full manifestation of the oneness of God. That through Christ, now we have entered God. And now through Christ, now God has entered us. Oh, hallelujah. Baka satabaya. In that priesthood, there is the priestly blessing. And Jesus being revealed in this chapter as a priest, or one who is the embodiment, who is the very substance that the priesthood in the Old Testament were speaking of. That means that in Christ, the full blessings of God are ours. No wonder Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Thank you, Jesus. Now in Christ, we have access to all priestly blessings. We don't need them outside any longer. We don't need them in the order of Moses. No, now in Christ Jesus, we have it in fullness. Thank you, sweet Holy Ghost. Rakasaba, lekonda brataba. You should know that Jesus revealed as the lamp of God that takes away the sin of the world. He has taken that sin, you see. He has dealt with that sin problem. And now he's our diet. Now we are in him. Now we have no enmity in our minds towards God, you see. Now, this eternal quality, we have a sharing in him. Because he kept on saying, for he is before me. He existed before time. Jesus existed before time. It means that that true relationship that God intended before time began was established and manifested in Christ. So we who are in Christ have a sharing in this eternal intention that God had before time. You are not ordinary. You share in Christ. You share in his life. You share in his light. His priestly function has fulfilled his work in us. We are satisfied in him. Lift your hands and begin to thank him. Leko rababa satabalalaba. Wherever you are, begin to thank him. Spend time, think on these words that have been shared with you. They are full of divine light for your nourishment. Kabakata karaba shanda bradabai. Oh, rekosonde velelelebo sababalalagababai. Rantelelebo shadagabababalalaba. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John in his book was not having a systematic discourse. He was revealing Christ with his eternal and divine quality in various dimensions. Review them as a priest unto us.
Shalom. Thank you for listening to Light of Life with Apostle Benny. We hope you were blessed. Join us for our midweek service on Wednesday at 6 p.m. and on Sunday at 8:30 a.m. on the second floor of Bintu Complex near Kwashiman. Let's get interactive. Follow us on social media at Christ Commonwealth-Community. Glory to God.